And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, where we did the Civil War thing. I want to go out and do a little bit of drone footage for the videos later. And that's another thing, just so the audience knows, but to get Tim caught up, we're going to go ahead and go to 2-hour show here next whenever, you know, week two, three, whenever I get to it, by the end of the month, hopefully. And we're going to go to 2-hour show and without commercial interruption, and maybe have top of the hour break and put in something, whatever. But we're going to go ahead and pre-produce it, make nice video. I got a bunch of stuff that I want to include into the show that I just can't live, and with all the internet connection problems there, it's just a pain in the ass. So we're going to go ahead and do that. The networks, you know, had some issues with the FBI breaking in and pulling wires, and so we're just going to make the break and go to it. And I need Tim Pachote help. You know, on the stream deck, I got all the equipment. I got everything. You know, I may need my HDMI switcher thing back. You're not using it, are you?
No, I'm not using it. I'm just basically storing it for you.
Okay. Go ahead and pack it up and everything. I think that's going to work better.
It's already all packed up, ready to go.
All right. Well, I'll tell you where to send it. Let me see. Where should we send it?
I was just at UPS yesterday having to send some stuff over to Josh in Mexico. So... Okay.
Yeah, we'll work it out. You know, by the end of the show, get that set. Because I have a really nice HDMI switcher thing that, you know, Tim, I don't think you ever really used it. You went to this Stream Deck, which I got, which does a lot of the same thing, but it has some different features that I want to use on green screen stuff. So we're going to go ahead and pimp out that. We have all the equipment. We just didn't do it because I couldn't really use it the way in the live stream the way I wanted. So we're going to reformat the show so I can do some quality video and have some fun. Because the big thing is, I didn't want to do it where some platform, I'm going to put it up, and they go, you use 7.5 seconds of Led Zeppelin, you're not allowed, and you're canceled. Screw you. You know, so now we can do IPFS, Float's pulling it. You know, from that, we're working on that. The Pirate Box is doing well. We're platforming a bunch of people being deplatformed. Things are going, and I had David Irvine from MadeSafe on yesterday. Within a month, they're going to be announcing a big, giant, oh, my God. And their deal advantage over IPFS is that you don't have to pin it. Once it goes out, it's out in the network and all the data is out there. I'm not sure how they're, you know, I guess as much hard drive space as you devote to it is how much that you can have out on the network or something, so there's not an imbalance. But it is... It's coming. The future be a nigh. And I want to, you know, I was talking last hour or first hour about this hacker attack on the energy system. And it reminds me of Stuxnet. As soon as I start talking about it, they turn off your internet. Stuxnet, which was a NSA code program, went into messed up Iranians, whatever. Anyway, it affected a bunch of computers, and a Russian hacker under Putin found what it was and traced it back. I'm looking for that article in Wired Magazine all about, you know, Kapropov or something like that. And that was very interesting. And Google's making it hard to find. You know, I'm just going, you know, I went all the other search engines too. So they don't want you to find that one, like, front page article in Wired about the guys that, you know, uncovered what, you know, who did what. Then there's NotPetya, which was another hacking thing. But you want to know what's going on, you watch.
Wasn't Stuxnet like Israel and like the NSA got traced back?
Yeah. It was, they definitely went after Iran thing. Well, And it's Live Free or Die Hard, the Die Hard movie that was in Washington, D.C. thing. That movie, I watched it last night just to refresh my memory. It's a fire sale. Everything must go. This is what's happening right now. Now, Tim being on the show is going to help us in how the control of the infrastructure of energy, which is what that movie was about, the control of the infrastructure, how that's going to affect the economy. Can we recover? Are we being ransomed all over and everybody and bad guys being bad? Tell me how it's going to play out in the economy.
Oh, man. Well, there's a lot of different ways that it can play out. But I mean, ultimately, they want to get everybody in a central bank digital currency. The latest podcast for the Tim and John show that we just did was on the Digital Dollar Foundation and the Digital Dollar Project, where you've got this company Accenture and you know, and some other, and obviously, you know, they're teamed up with, you take a look at like the other people involved in the project, people with like Gavi, which is like a big vaccine pusher, and it's, you know, so it's not too far of a stretch to think they're going to tie somehow universal basic income to vaccines. But what they want is some sort of problem reaction solution to get everybody into this. And so who knows, maybe this was just a false flag cyber attack. Now, I picked up my new RV on Friday, and one of the reasons I wanted to get an RV was I thought there was going to be some sort of cyber attack at some point where they're going to shut down the grid and, you know, all the basic necessities of life that people are used to. I mean, basically, like the average American is going to be screwed. And so I didn't. So when I was picking up the RV, obviously, there's like a lot of things you got to do and learn, and there's like a million things, and you're always learning, and I'm still, you're sure you're still learning. I need to talk to you about some different like battery setups and stuff. But anyways, like the very
Bob
first
Anderson's
thing,
son Nick, RV, yeah. AZRV, let's see that, AZRV Concepts or something like that. I'll get Donna, send him Nick's link. He will hook you up. Boom, done.
Boom. Yeah. So the very first news article that I see when I'm taking this out camping is a grid attack or cyber attack shuts down the East Coast pipeline. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like the very day that I get this rig, that there's a cyber attack on the grid. So
you chose wisely.
Yeah. So I don't really know like too many of the details of all this. And I look forward to going back and listening to the other previous show and, you know, and hearing what you just had in the previous hours and also the David Irvine one. But I mean, my initial premonition without doing any research on this at all is basically this has got to be some sort of dry run, you know, false flag type deal. Because I mean, what they need excuses to print unlimited amounts of money. They need excuses to do all the crony stuff they're going to do. And what better excuse than, you know, eventually shutting down the entire grid, have some sort of cyber attack, and then having some sort of then counterattack with Russia, then Russia then maybe actually has a real attack against us, and then things start heating up, and then that's sort of like the impetus of, you know, what can cause like this runaway inflation. And then they try to then, which everybody seems concerned about inflation now, except for the Federal Reserve and the European Central Bank. And I mean, you go and I think it was instances of the word inflation was used 300% more times by CEOs and CFOs and basically their C-level executives on earnings calls. And yet you look at the Federal Reserve and everyone else, and they basically have like no concern at all that there's going to be any sort of inflation. And I think that there was the Fed's Mester, I mean, it's Loretta Mester, said, you know, the economic outlook is still bright, but we're watching the upside risk in inflation. Well, they're going to be watching because there's nothing they can do. And, you know, it's always fine till the day it's not fine.
Right.
And on this whole inflation deal, I mean, I don't know how this isn't like really creeping up in, you know, on the radar. Well, I know how, because their job is to just cheerlead what's going on, not actually fix anything. It's just to, you know, rig everything for the top 0.1% to, you know, basically try to enslave everybody else from what's going on. But the ultimate end goal is to get a central bank digital currency. This part of this digital dollar project, they're going to launch 5 different CBDC. That's a central bank digital currency test cases and basically pilots. And so this is definitely coming. And I mean, obviously your audience knows. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here. But
okay, hold on for you. Yeah, we're going into break. I want to talk about this very thing. Okay, now what are you? You know, remember what you were just talking about. Will you please write it down so that we don't miss it?
I got a digital dollar.
Yeah, digital dollar. You know, we're because here it comes. I want everybody to know what's up. And I'm looking at Bitcoin Cash is now $1,453.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
And she wanted to know, what can I do as a state legislator? Well, we got it passed. You know, but then they, you know, the speaker, Jim Wires, you know, just kind of bitched it up. And they had a bunch of corruption. And we got all kinds of stories on it and shows and whatever. But it's doing this. It was just a stage, a collectivization, the nationalization, how are they going to do it? And they come in with a digital currency. Well, Bitcoin was exactly what they wanted, but it opened up other possibilities, which is what I invest in, or I support. It's what I want, so I buy certain, you know, cryptos for those reasons. Well, Bitcoin ain't it. It is not. That is GoldmanSachs.gov coin, and here they come with GovCoin. Tim noticed it, did you?
Yeah, and what I just realized about maybe 2 weeks ago is that there's something called, if you guys can go to digitaldollarproject.org, and there's this digital dollar project, and I, John and I were, you know, John had the white paper, I was, you know, skimming through it, and it's crazy, like, and sort of like a footnote on, this is on page 27, figure 2, is happened to be, like, as I'm skimming this, I see the, in quotes, exorbitant purpose. I'm like, that's interesting. And so the sentence before this is, some argue that the U.S. incurs undue benefits often associated with the notion of exorbitant privilege, as foreigners are obliged to hold liabilities denominated in dollars, providing the U.S. with low funding costs and allowing it to sustain large external deficits. Now, I was like, wait a minute, exorbitant privilege? I'm like, that's the exact thing that Klaus Schwab had in his book that came out in June 2020, but this white paper came out in May 2020. And it was crazy because I remember like reading this on page 72. So this is from COVID-19, The Great Reset by Klaus Schwab. It says, for decades, the U.S. has enjoyed, in quotes, the exorbitant privilege of retaining the global currency reserve, a status that has long been a perk of imperial might and an economic elixir. So then I was wondering like why they both had this in quotes. And like this is, as we're doing the Tim and John show, I just basically looking up this live and seeing where this came from. And so if we go to Wikipedia, the term exorbitant privilege or privilege exorbitant in French, or however you say that, refers to the benefits that the United States has to its own currency, the dollar, being the international currency. And then, you know, basically goes on to say, you know, because of Bretton Woods.
Okay, we're going into break. It's a hard break. I want you to we're going to make sure everybody understands what you just said, the exorbitant privilege and what they're doing to the dollar when we come back.
There are those that just want to be left alone. And those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Tim Pachote, the Liberty Advisor. Yeah, exorbitant privilege. All right, you start to hear that. You know, the dollar, you got reserve credit. You shouldn't be in charge. You can't because, I don't know, because they like it. And I don't care. I don't want, you know, the dollar in charge of the government of Fed anyway. But going down to the people being able to have their own currency, the people being able to do their own financial freedom of exchange and value of it goes there and you can't stop it. And God forbid you not be able to track it. You know, they're... and they're not digging that. They want a cryptocurrency, a digital dollar, a universal basic. Grandma's going to have to learn how to use a smartphone and purple digital script money of whatever the hell is what they want. And now how they're going to prevent people from or tax them or IRS come get them or something, I have no idea. You know, and I guarantee if you're using a phone, they can see it on your phone. So as I'm sitting there checking my crypto wallets all the time, and it just keeps going up, well, the man's going, hello, and you're so freaking not allowed, and you think that, yeah, well, I'm just going to do it anyway. Yeah, talk to China. So I'm this exorbitant privilege thing, you know, that means what? What are they planning on actually doing, Tim?
I mean, I think at some point, I mean, I think, you know, the people that said it best was actually Jeff Berwick and Charlie Robinson. You know, their book was called The Controlled Demolition of the American Empire. And one of the biggest things holding up the American Empire, or probably the biggest thing, is the fact that, I mean, besides like military might, but what's backing military might is the fact that we can print our own money, and we can print our own money because we're the world reserve currency. So it's all a feedback loop. And so really the biggest threat to the entire way of life for every single person in America is the fact that we are the world reserve currency. And the moment that ends, it's basically game over. And so there's going to be some sort of exogenous threat, you know, black swan event. And in my opinion, it's probably going to be some sort of cyber attack, or maybe they go and release some other bioweapon that actually does kill 3 to 5% of people, not like 0.02% of people who are already, you know, old or fat, or, you know, have some other, you know, health issue that they're was going to kill them anyway. So at some point, but what struck me was, I was like, wait a minute, this white paper was written in May, Klaus Schwab's book was in June, but then I'm like, wait a minute, Klaus Schwab had it in quotes, meaning it came from somewhere else, and basically it's the French referring to the fact that, you know, that America can go and spend a few cents and print up a $100 bill, but other countries actually have to produce $100 worth of goods to give us for our bullshit, you know, funny money that isn't even backed by anything really anymore, especially, you know, since Nixon, you know, ended up getting us off the gold standard in August of 1971. And then I went on and I saw that there's this, you know, they keep referencing this American economist, Barry Isegreen. What I'll do is I'll pull up some of the guy's books right now. And the books that he had, like the titles of them were all like complete, like definitely like New World Order type titles. And I'm trying to stall over here as I'm trying to find this, but it was all like stuff about, you know, one world currency and all this other stuff. Okay, I'm getting it right now. Yeah, actually, yeah, one of his books was actually called Exorbitant Privilege, The Rise and Fall of the Dollar and the Future of the International Monetary System. You know, he's got books on, you know, the globalizing capital, a history of the international monetary system. And so, I mean, this is like a they, them, those type guy from everything that I can quickly, you know, get out of this. But it was the fact that they were using that term exorbitant privilege is what really struck me. And I didn't even realize that the whole Economist magazine thing was 33 years. I'm like, you know, that's, you know, obviously the most, you know, pretty much like Illuminati number that there is.
No,
you know, 33
years, 3 months, 3 weeks, 3 days. Between the publication date. Now, you know, there's a signal there. I mean,
probably a coincidence. Probably, I mean, there is a big part of me that thinks that that basically Bitcoin was created by the NSA. So, I mean, you can go back to the white paper, I think, in 97 or 98 from the NSA. And it was, I believe it was called How to Make a Mint, the something, something of electronic cash. I mean, very similar to, you know, Bitcoin white paper, peer-to-peer electronic cash. And then you had to then make it, you know, sexy and have like the outlaws, you know, Ernest Hancock's of the world, you know, getting into it. And then you had to have the free tech geniuses like, you know, the Vitalik Buterins over there providing, you know, open source software for free. And then the government can then basically, you know, piggyback off the fact that you have all these people who are genius coders and developers, like, you know, Colin Cantrell developing next level stuff, who are doing it for free. And then they pick and choose the best parts of what they want. And then eventually maybe have some sort of, you know, grid down event or some sort of, you know, maybe they have some mass selling event of crypto to crash things. And then they say, oh, we got this government regulated one that's backed by the government and backed by the Fed. And to make you make things safer, we're going to make this illegal. And we're going to,
well, this is why we had to have the letters of Captain Mark, pirateswithoutborders.com. You go to letters of Captain Mark, the second letter of Mark. The second letter is all about this very thing. And when you talked about the French going, hey, man, they're really, well, they know. Because De Gaulle, which was, you know, a big hero of World War II or something. Yeah, when he became, God, what are they, prime minister, chancellor, whatever the hell, of France, president.
Crime, crime minister.
Yeah, exactly. So when they were, the dollar was supposed to be, certainly for foreigners, you know, that would invest in the dollar, good as gold. They could just show up with a Federal Reserve note that they just kept printing for Vietnam. They were just printing. Well, French, you know, they left Vietnam for this reason, and we're out of here. And the U.S. go, we'll show you how to do it. We'll take them over. We'll stop the communist takeover of whatever. So they come in, you know, and the French were paying attention. What happened? They go in with all these dollars and said, all right, we'll take the gold. We want gold. And they were just sucking out the gold out of Fort Knox with the promise of the reserve currency good as gold dollar. Well, Nixon went, whoa, they're onto our jig, man. We got, you know, and the gold window was closed. And that's when we—that's when it was off the gold standard.
Temporarily, it was first closed temporarily, but you know nothing is so permanent as a temporary, you know, government institution. Right. So this has been long.
This is what prompted Ron Paul to run for Congress. He knew what this meant. Of course, it took freaking forever, but you know it was inevitable. So you know, Ron Paul is going, "Yay, I was right. Told you so. Yay." I mean, you know, it's here we go. So what? Talking to, you know, Tim Pachote, the Liberty Advisor, what do you advise, man? People need to what? I bought all my copper, you know, for wiring and stuff for the house and solar because I knew better last July. So, you know, what should people be doing? Getting an RV, which he just got a 27-footer and a Tahoe to pull it in, and he's been yakking about this. Are you digging that? Is that a good decision, you think?
Well, I mean, the very first news article I read when I'm, you know, out there and I pull up the phone is, oh, there's a cyber attack on the whole East Coast power infrastructure or the grid or the, you know, the oil pipeline. I'm like, well, yeah, I'm feeling pretty good about the decision to at least be in a spot where, you know, hey, if I need hot water, or I need to go, you know, take a nice shower or you know, have some, I mean, I've got a generator and a solar generator and, you know, able to, you know, get by that way. But, you know, the generator is only so good as long as you can go get gas. And we see right now a big hole in the people's plans are, you know, that generator doesn't mean crap if you don't have gas. And then, so it's, I really do feel that this was just some sort of warm-up exercise. And obviously they're going to, you know, very obvious to go and they pin this on the Russians, you know, 5 seconds into that. I mean, anyone, I think, listening to this probably could have, you know, guessed that was going to be the case. But it's going to be some sort of Hegelian dialectic problem, reaction, solution to eventually, you know, crash the dollar, which then, you know, and it's going to happen through, you know, losing the world reserve currency status. But I think first they need to get us into some sort of digital, or maybe there's some sort of thing where, hey, the bonds start losing all their value, and then they go, hey, we're going to go reprice your worthless treasury bonds. Because, you know, there's people out there like Harry Dent who talk about, I think he's got a lot of good research and some of his books are really good, but, you know, just like Peter Schiff says a lot of really good things, but, you know, completely idiot when it comes to crypto. So I think, you know, Harry's kind of dug himself in on a few things, and Peter's dug himself in on a few things. And, you know, and Harry's telling people to be in like 30-year treasury bonds. What happens when the Fed loses control of the rates? Not when they raise the rates. I'm not talking about them raising the rates. I'm talking about them losing control of the rates. You're in a 30-year bond. Rates go 3%. Boom! Just lost 90% of your, you know, of your wealth in there. By the time you wait 30 years, especially if you're 65, you know, all the horses are out of the barn, and goodbye to your retirement. Goodbye to everything.
You know, this is stuff that, you know, Tim, we're going into break. I don't want to miss a lot of this. This is stuff that Tim's been warning about. When we first met, he gave presentations to breakfast clubs and everything. We're going to share.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And Tim Pachote, the Liberty Advisor. All right. Where do we leave off? We're yakking on about, you know, all the RV stuff and the power, and Colin, our friend, got a bus himself, put, you know, 10, 300 and whatever watt panels on there. You know, this is a thing. You know, a lot of people are doing this, and they're going, wow, you can buy these buses, old buses, for, you know, less than $10,000 and spend we just had a story up yesterday. Somebody spent $100,000 getting an old bus and doing it up, and kind of, you know, it doesn't suck if you got the resources or the money to do it. And there's value in being able to be mobile. But that doesn't mean they can't track you with all your stuff. So we need to have, you know,
or you don't have any gas because all the oil pipelines are shut down.
Right. Well, that's one thing. We have a range like that. Of about with, you know, some extra fuel that we bring with and so on. We got probably at least 900 to 1,000 mile range on this thing. And it would be better if it didn't get, you know, it's a 175 gallon tank, but it only gets like 5-6 miles a gallon. I mean, gag me. But some of them get a lot better. You know, it's an old two-stroke diesel. But now that it's all working, it just keeps it going. So hopefully it'll keep it going through the zombie apocalypse if we get to make it to the end. So you're suggesting that people do what? I mean, is crypto a thing? Precious metals? Silver as yet? I am. Everybody's going, oh, Ernie, you keep saying silver. You keep saying, yeah, I'm going to keep saying it too. And then I get to go neon, I told you so. But when it does, I'm not going to feel good about it. I'm just trying to, you know, maintain mine. But so crypto, precious metals, you know, plywood. I mean, you know, what should we be getting?
Yeah, I mean, food, ammo, things you're going to need. I mean, just basic necessities. I mean, maybe, you know, extra, you know, generators. Last time I saw that on your show, then the whole Texas blackout happened like a few days later.
Yeah,
so,
same crap.
You know, so, I mean, and the thing is, whether it's a malicious attack or whether it's a false flag or whether it's just pure incompetence, I mean, one of those three things is probably definitely going to happen. And they're going to crash the dollar in terms of losing reserve status, and then they'll probably lead to some sort of war. And so the entire buildup to everything is eventually, when you see it seeded everywhere out there in the ethos of it, I mean, the fact that I just happened to be skimming through this white paper and then see, like, in smaller print, exorbitant privilege, I'm like, I know exactly where that comes from. That was Klaus Schwab's book, but it didn't come from there because this was written even before that. And then the Digital Dollar Project, the guy that was in charge of that, he was given his initial, like, speech, like, coming out party for this stuff was at Davos in 2020 at the World Economic Forum. So, you know, there you go. And then
you're speaking at Davos. You already been vetted. You're going to say what they want you to say. You don't go up there and, like, you know, surprise people with stuff.
Wing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reserve currency.
I have not done, like, the entire full deep. I mean, we did a pretty big deep dive, but, you know, as I'm just, you know, going from, like, one rabbit hole to another rabbit hole, and then seeing all the different things that are going on. And one thing that sort of pissed me off is that the company that was behind this Digital Dollar Project Foundation was actually Accenture. And in October 2017, I was actually at one of the former top people of Accenture's home and talking his ear off about Bitcoin. And he, to my knowledge, was actually, like, someone knowledgeable on Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. This was October 2017, right before the run-up, like maybe like a week before the run-up of things going crazy. And yeah, damn it, now his company is going and using it, weaponizing it against us, because they want all the contracts and they want to go into all the other companies to, you know, act as consultants as, you know, digital dollar projects get launched all around the world. No, they were he already knew, but I was like, damn. But I mean, but how I started bonding with the son is, I remember we were in St. Kitts, and he said, I just met him down there, and all of a sudden the son's like, oh, you know, you're gonna, you know, because he was talking about something, I could tell it was sort of conspiratorial, you know, stuff right up our alley. And he's like, oh no, I don't want to tell you what I was talking about. I'm like, no, man, believe it's not going to be too much. And it was all about, like, this book his mom had given him on, like, 9/11 or something that he wanted, and how it was an inside job. And then I started talking about Creature from Jekyll Island, and we were going on and on and hit it off. So, you know, I thought I was in, like, a safe zone talking about, you know, Bitcoin. But it's not like I had any, like, insider knowledge on Bitcoin that nobody else, you know, couldn't just go figure it out. And he had already retired from there anyway. But, yeah, no, but yeah, this whole exorbitant privilege, I mean, I'm seeing that term over and over and over again. And so they're going to, I mean, if you're another country, and Peter Schiff talks about this all the time, like how we're ripped off by China. Well, are we really getting ripped off by China? No, we're not, because, well, yeah, I mean, on several fronts we are, but if you're taking a look at it, I mean, China gives us actual goods. I mean, you can argue that they're probably crap, but they're giving us actual goods, and then we're giving them IOUs that cost us nothing to make. And so they're just bag holders on IOUs, and we've got, you know, their actual stuff. And eventually they're going to be like, well, why do we want your piece of crap IOUs for, you know, your treasury bonds when, you know, we don't, you know, we'd rather, but the thing is, like, no country over a long term can actually really sustain themselves as being a world reserve currency. And I believe it's called Triffin's dilemma or Tiffin's dilemma. I think it's Triffin's dilemma. And, you know, this was theorized back, and I think the late 30s by economist Robert Triffin, where basically the whoever was the world reserve currency, because the money was backed by, or the currency rather, was backed by debt, that you had to run global deficits in order to have you know, enough liquidity in the system. But eventually that those deficits would then basically stranglehold the issuer of the world reserve currency, which would then basically damage the ability for them to permanently be the world reserve currency. And so now that we've been running the scheme for a very long time, we're at the end of the rope on all this stuff. And so when you're at the end of the rope and you're broke, you know, it's like you might as well just run up the credit card bill before you go bankrupt. Right, and I feel like that's exactly what we're doing. And exactly what we're doing. And we've got all the race baiting stuff. I'm not sure if you saw, you probably had it up in Freedom's Phoenix, but it was the like CIA's woke, like, you know, I
the recruitment thing. I was hired at the CIA and I didn't have to hide my Marxism. I got hired because of it. Everybody come on in.
Well, John Brennan didn't have to hide his Marxism. I mean,
I know. You know, a lot of people don't know this. Comey, head of the FBI, Clapper,
Brennan,
CIA, all these guys were freaking communist supporting out
card carrying. They were part of it. I mean, what's his name? In 1980, Brennan voted for whoever the Communist Party was and was an actual registered member of the American Communist Party. And then now, and then he's like, you know, the CIA didn't hold it against him, you know, when he went to go do this. And then
no,
you can
the
find
minimum job
of him.
Requirement.
I mean, you can find videos of him, and I'm sure a lot of people have seen this, where, you know, he's at the CFR talking about geostratic and basically chemtrails, and, you know, and talking about the different, you know, aerosols that they're putting into the sky, and, you know, and recently.
Oh, before we run out of time, okay,
I want to get your aluminum. Yeah,
no, wow. I want to get your comment on this. Okay, Bill and Melinda Gates getting divorced. What's happened? The Epstein stuff and party girl of con man. Is his day's numbered? Are they gonna? He gonna get woke eyed? You know, me too. Is there gonna be a turn on Gates, or they're just gonna ignore everything forever?
I mean, maybe this is sort of like what, you know, Cuomo used a sex scandal to divert away from the fact that he killed a bunch of old people in New York. And maybe here they're using some other sex scandal to then divert away from the fact that they, you know, had a whole event 201 and that they staged this entire thing. And now it's, you know, starting to become more, you know, less fringe that this could have actually been, you know, released in from the, you know, Wuhan Institute of Virology, which, you know, obviously, you know, if I was a betting man, I mean, I would, you know, basically move all my chips on that out of that, you know, probability of how things came. And I'm not sure if you saw where, you know, Fauci and Rand Paul were getting into it.
Yeah,
over,
I did.
And that was great. And I mean, and Rand Paul is not really going to go out on a limb and say stuff that's like really, really crazy unless he can sort of back it up. And in, you know, I'm obviously more inclined to believe him than Fauci.
Well, Fauci was mincing words. We have never, nor have we, should. He goes, yeah. You did this. You paid this guy. He did. Yeah, but we didn't directly do the Wuhan. But you paid the guy.
And that was a very gangster mafia look that he was giving to Rand Paul the entire time as he was saying this, like kind of like looking him like with this look of like,
oh, you're on the list, boy.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's a great time to be alive. I mean, we get to see all this stuff, you know, going down right in front of our faces. And it's just, you know, it's a very exciting time, you know, personally. But, you know, I mean, I'm not happy that, you know, we've been writing a lot of stuff. I'm not happy that we're going to continue to be right on stuff that we've talked about because, you know, I've got my kids who, you know, my ex makes them wear a mask, you know, going to school. So I'm not, you know, happy about that. I'm not happy about a lot of things going on. But, you know, it's certainly not boring. And you know, we get to have some sort of role in this to kind of warn people about central bank digital currency. And then, you know, probably what's going to happen is the privacy coins are going to go through, in my opinion, when they, you know, eventually, you know, get everybody by the balls and make everybody go and get on one of these central bank currencies. But it's probably going to be like a Germany type example where you're going to have to exchange your dollars into a CBDC because, you know, you had the Reichsmark that then got changed to a Deutschmark. Before that, you had the Goldmark, and the Renmark, the Reichsmark.
It's all coming. Get prepped. Be independent. Don't be dependent. Call the Liberty Advisor.com. Hip, yeah.